This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Back in the booth, back on the airwaves, coming at you live from the Fan Run studios. John Reed, Cam Black, Draven Fine. Intern Ryan's got the Periscope fired up if you want to watch along. It is working today. You can see our beautiful faces. Is it coming on this Monday, June 21st? Rough start to the College World Series for Tennessee. Got a day off today to get ready for it. A must-win game. Tennessee's going to face a bunch of must-win games coming up over the next week. So with that being said, Cameron, how are you?
I am excellent. Nothing wrong. Everything's going according to plan.
You made the right decision to be all the way out on baseball. Yep. You try to get all in, and you're like, actually, I'm out. Yep. You made the right decision. You didn't even have to be sad yesterday.
I wasn't phased. I was focusing on the mission. The mission was completed.
Got the shades on. He's feeling good, Eddie. Feeling good.
Is it a coincidence that the one home game we won in the series was the one I was at? Some are saying no. So, you're welcome. You're welcome, man.
Wow. I will say Cam probably needs the shades. I imagine it was a pretty long day and night for Cameron last night. So, I would say, you want to turn his lights off, Cam? Will that help you?
Oh, no. I'm a little bright. Perfectly fine. Our just future is so bright.
It is a good feeling.
Gotta wear the shade.
It is one of the best feelings as a fan. Ooh. Draven, how are you, my friend?
Not too bad. Got sunburnt over the weekend.
I see that. I got a little
red. Not too good, but
pool day?
It was a pool day.
At least it was
nice.
Like yard work day where you go.
No. It was nice. It was fun, but man, there's nothing worse than just getting torched out there though.
You didn't wear any sunscreen or just stay out too long?
No, I did. I put on some sunscreen just
stayed out.
You know, don't get out enough, I guess, John. Don't get out in the sun enough.
You put the sunscreen on outside the 30-minute window. You're supposed to put it on 30 minutes before you go out.
Is that what they say?
Yeah. Did you put it on and then immediately jump in the pool and watch
it? No, it's one of those things where it was like, I got out, I was out in the sun, and I was like, oh, wait, I need to put sunscreen on. And then, you know, you put it on maybe a little late, maybe. Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah. Rookie mistake.
Is there anything worse than trying to sleep, shower in that hot water while you're sunburnt?
A good cold shower while sunburned is pretty good, though.
But then you're freezing when you get out of the shower,
That's true.
When you're done.
But that nap afterwards.
It's true.
I assume you had some White Claws out by the pool, enjoyed your time, you get out of that shower. That is a good little sleep afterwards.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm glad you had a good weekend. My weekend was fun. No complaints. Great weekend. Solid weekend. Really good weekend. Shout out to the Hawks for helping pull us out, Cam. I mean, I know you didn't care about the baseball loss yesterday, but I was like, oh, that sucks, especially the way Tennessee did lose. So I needed something to go right. I got Bryson. Oh, man, Bryson. Oof. I went to my golf group chat as he was heading into the back nine with the one-stroke lead, and I was like, oh, interesting, because they're all big Brooks boys.
Oh, yeah.
So I was like, oh, interesting. And then I'll be honest, I went to the pool yesterday as well after the baseball game. I didn't see the meltdown. I checked the standings. I was like, oh, my God, what the hell happened, Bryson? A 44 collapse on the back nine. What the hell are you doing?
He hit multiple trees on the fly.
He was one of the many golfers who kind of collapsed yesterday with the pressure on. Shout out to John Rahm. Kind of poetic. Nice of John Rahm. He was the favorite, but able to get that first major championship, you know, just 2 weeks after getting robbed of a Memorial Championship and a, you know, $2 million payday, basically, for COVID. He was able to come back. Again, he was the only guy on the back nine who didn't melt down. He was the only guy on the back nine who didn't even record a bogey. Everyone else was giving shots back. He didn't, and that's the difference in it. He got clutch on 17 and 18, and poor Louis Oosthuizen, and another runner-up for him. Another silver medal.
Had a chance.
But John Rahm capitalized, sunk two just real clutch putts, and that's got to be a good feeling to slam the door shut like that. He became the first golfer ever, and I believe, is there 120 U.S. Opens prior to yesterday? Is that the right number?
Sounds right.
The first golfer ever to birdie 17 and 18 and win by one stroke. So, I mean, like, to get as clutch as he did, he is the only person to ever do that. And, again, the 120-year history of the U.S. Open. So, that makes it even more special. First Spaniard to win the U.S. Open. A lot of firsts. So, good for John Rahm. Spoiler alert, he'll probably be my biggest winner of the weekend. So I needed the Hawks last night because Bryson let me down in spectacular fashion. Tennessee baseball let me down in spectacular fashion. You know, when Trae Young came out and was 1-for-12, Cam, I was like, oh, what the hell is this going on here? Is everybody just going to let me down?
No, it was fine. We were up and he wasn't hitting shots. I was like, ha, ha, ha.
That's a good point.
Oh, hilarious. I was just laughing at the TV. I was like, really? They're really going to do this?
Kevin Herter didn't let you down, John.
He did not. Never. He did not.
Kevin Herter did not let you down.
I had pulled up Johnny Cash Hurt. I was just thinking about how everything I love goes away in the end. Tennessee baseball, King Bryson, my Hawks. But then Kevin Herter, much like his red hair, rose from the ashes like a phoenix.
Fire.
Kept the Hawks afloat. And now I feel better. Now I even feel optimistic about Tennessee baseball battling back. So, like, it was a big psyche win. Tennessee baseball is going to be fun. They are going to play Texas tomorrow at 2 p.m. I'm looking forward to the challenge. Let's see what this team's got with their back against the wall. They make it double elimination for a reason. And I just simply refuse to believe that Tennessee baseball will go out sad like they did in game one, where a clutch hitting team, where you just kept talking about how they keep coming and make plays. You just never got one of those plays yesterday.
Mm-mm. Nope.
Tennessee 0-for-8 with runners in scoring position. 0-for-4 at manufacturing a run with having a guy on third base with fewer than two outs. Like, you have to be able to get one of those runs in. And Tennessee couldn't do it. They squandered a bunch of opportunities. And then Virginia just kind of nickel and dimed you. Some sloppy defense, I thought, from Tennessee in that seventh inning. Mm-hmm. Just some fundamental stuff. You know, I thought, okay, clutch base hit. They're up 2-0. Let's just make sure that guy doesn't get to second base, and Tennessee throws the ball home on a play where you didn't really have a chance of having a play at the plate. You let the Virginia runner advance to second, and, you know, then you just find yourself in trouble at risk for a big inning, and that's exactly what happened. Tennessee gave up a big inning. Just through, again, getting nickel and dimed, giving up steals, not being able to make the plays either on offense or defense that they had to. You had some bad luck. You had a couple hard hit balls. Get hit right out of Virginia player. That happens. That's why they play a series. So Tennessee, get back on it. I thought Vitello said the right things after the game. After the game, he pretty much just said, look, you know, we just didn't play with a lot of conviction, and I think our guys were a little too gassed up from being in the moment. Like, we got to remember, hey, it's just a game. He said, our guys are always good at interacting with fans, giving autographs and all these things. He said, what I need right now is for them to go and give a bunch of autographs to some kids, shake some hands, and remember it's a Little Leaguers game. Mm-hmm. Even poke fun at himself. Like, hey, the coaches have to wear costumes, almost like it's Halloween. He's like, we shouldn't take this so seriously. So I like that mentality of like, hey, let's just play loose, let's play fun. That's what we did all year. Mm-hmm. And he said that wasn't the team he saw on Sunday.
What Aaron Rodgers once say, R-E-L-A-X.
Now, I will say Aaron Rodgers had a little bit more of a room for error in a regular season. A
little bit.
Like, Tennessee baseball needs to relax and have fun, but also like, hey, you know, next loss, you're going home. Unless you can reel off, what is it? What do we need now? Three? We need at least what? Four straight victories, I believe. Tennessee needs to win four in a row.
That just sounds tough, man. Great.
It is going to be tough. It is going to be tough. You know, you can point to Tennessee getting to, which I guess you can point to the SEC tournament and Tennessee finding a way to get to the championship game after an early loss in game one. This team has responded. You know, the offense was not good against Alabama that day and then turned around and, you know, two straight teams?
Two straight, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So Tennessee baseball has had their backs against the wall before. I'm excited for the opportunity tomorrow against Texas. Now, again, I would have liked to win in game one. But you didn't get it. But I'm not hitting the panic button just yet. Win this game tomorrow, and then you'll play the loser of Mississippi State and Virginia on Thursday night. That's kind of the upcoming schedule for Tennessee baseball. If you lose tomorrow at 2, you go home. Good day. And I don't really want to go home right now because I'm a little nervous about what's transpiring in Baton Rouge. As Bianco, Ole Miss's manager, signs an extension. And now the update on the coaching search has, you know, Vitello number one. They're using his pitcher when they're writing about LSU's coaching search. So, like, I'd rather not have this season end right now. If you could play deep into this tournament, maybe LSU gets a little nervous and tries to pull the trigger on someone else. Tennessee goes 0-2 there. It gives them a lot of time to talk. A lot of time to talk. You just felt like you were on the wrong side of karma yesterday, though.
Yeah.
You have the Logan Michaels kid hit his first home run. And to do it on Father's Day as his dad, you know, is crying in the stands, who has been battling with pancreatic cancer. And he gets the home run ball. He's crying. That's the kid that also came up in the seventh inning and got the second RBI.
Yep.
To make it 2-0.
Man.
You're playing against karma yesterday. That was tough. I didn't take that into account when I said I didn't want to play Dallas Baptist. I didn't know the dad, the pancreatic cancer survivor. I did appreciate the irony of us going scoreless on Father's Day after the daddy hats, though. That was tough. Gotta give a hat tip there.
Yeah.
That whole emotional storyline was really reminiscent of Loyola Chicago.
That's what people have said, yeah. See, I thought Dallas Baptist might be that, just like the scrappy underdog. It's not supposed to be there. You know, they're coming in playing loose. I thought maybe that would happen, so I was like, yeah, let's just play Virginia instead. That might have been a mistake on my part because, again, didn't know the storyline. Didn't know they had the Loyola Chicago vibes. Also, you know, maybe underestimated Andrew Abbott, who we talked about being the number 61 ranked prospect in baseball this year. You know, he was clutch. Got a little lucky, too, with his defense. You know, defense making plays behind him and Tennessee's lack of base hitting. Tennessee had a chance to put him on the ropes, you know, early and often and didn't. And the big lefty came out, struck out a bunch of balls when he had to, and, you know, shut Tennessee out. Maybe should have just rooted for Dallas Baptist. I think I'll take the L on this one.
I mean, I think the biggest difference, Virginia's got experience. They've been here before, and we haven't. I don't think it would have helped with, you know, it made this any different, really.
You know, you have a first-time coach being here as well with Vitello.
Mm-hmm.
I wasn't worried about the lack of experience just because this Tennessee team has been thriving on it. But, you know, after the game, you do have Vitello saying, like, hey, you know, he didn't call it inexperience, but the fact they let the moment get too big for them, that implies it was a lack of experience that hurt them, right? Whenever you're saying the moment was just, you know, they looked around, different setting.
Yep.
Played a little nervous. You can chalk that one up to lack of experience. So maybe we should have been worried about that.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought this team is young and dumb enough, naive enough, cocky enough to not let it be an issue. We'll see how they respond, though. Kind of stinks, though. I mean, like, this is what the number 2 and number 3 team having to play in the, in the loser's bracket?
Yeah.
Who's the better UT?
Somebody's going to go home not disappointed in the sense of, like, hey, still a great season, but a little, like, feeling unfulfilled. Like, ah, man. That happened quickly.
Yeah.
Because I would say Texas feels like Tennessee and went there looking at their bracket saying, yeah, we can get to the championship series. We can do this. They were a top team all year, just like Tennessee was. And then, you know, like I said, one of these teams going home after 2 games. Intern Ryan asks, who's the real UT? Who's the better UT? Yep. Well, we're going to find out tomorrow, I guess. Although many people have pointed out, like, the University of Tennessee was a university, like, 40 years before Texas was even a state. 80 years before they were in a university.
Just saying, huh?
We've been wanting to play them in football just for that reason. I guess we'll settle it in baseball. Get Rick Barnes' thoughts.
There you go.
Deal with that as well. We're off and running on Talk Sports. We'll come back. Stick with us. Back on the program. Like I said, we now turn our attention to a must-win game tomorrow. Draven, you were pretty excited for the baseball to get started this weekend. How are you feeling today?
Not good. Not good at all. I kind of called this, too, by the way. I hate to, you know, toot my own horn in a situation like this, but I was pretty nervous about this game. John, and just kind of the hype and the hoopla and everything that we kind of put into this team a little bit, and I do think that's, I mean, like you said, Tony V said, I mean, kind of got to him a little bit. Now you got to play another team who's used to success as well in Texas, who's been there before and probably had their backs against the wall in these situations much more than we have. I think it's going to be a tough situation.
Yeah.
So not feeling great. You didn't sound too worried, though.
Well, I mean, I'm worried about Tennessee's prospects of winning a national championship at this point. I mean, I don't when I come on here and like burn it down though and act like this team can't get off the mat. Like I feel like we do that too many times off of game, you know, one game. So the same thing after, you know, Milwaukee lost game 5 to the Nets. I was like, eh, it's not over. They can still get back in it. Teams can win a couple games in a row. Mm-hmm. I don't want to, like, completely, like, throw away a good season, even if Tennessee does go 0-2 here. So, like, I'm not going to bash the team. I think they would all say the same thing. Lack of timely hitting. Mm-hmm. I mean, to me, it's that simple. You didn't come up. You didn't come up when you had to. And I didn't think you made the pitches you had to. You know, in that seventh inning, you left a couple of, you know, out over the plate, and they were able to smack it for a base hit. To me, it's that simple. I mean, I'm panicked about – I mean, if you ask me right now, does Tennessee get to the championship series, I'm just going to say no because I do. Obviously this was worst-case scenario, right? Losing game one.
Yep.
Not only did you lose game one, you had your confidence kind of shattered in game one. Like, I do think – you know, I do think in the locker room they're going to be a little bit tougher mentally than some of the Tennessee fans I've seen online giving up.
Yeah, people are a little harsh, huh?
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Like, I've seen it. I mean, it's sports fandom. I get it. And maybe if you don't, like, read message boards and, like, worry about this stuff, then you wouldn't notice it. But, like, I read a lot of message boards or Reddit threads and just keep a psyche on certain fan bases. And, like, even, you know, another cross-sport comparison, but, like, you know, Sixers fans were ready to get rid of Bogdanovich and trade Capella because they're struggling, you know, injured, and, you know, Embiid's hurting Capella. And you're just like, well, you know, things happen sometimes. It doesn't discredit contributions that players have made all year. Like, it doesn't change, you know, slumping for a couple games doesn't change the makeup of your team or, like, what you should do.
Mm-hmm.
The overreactions after one game, just from a lot of fans, like, Titans the same way. Titans lose a game. Oh, let's get rid of everybody. Oh, same old Titans. 8-8. No, we went 11-5. But, like, after every loss, oh, yeah, we're going to lose 5 in a row. Going to finish 8-8. This franchise can't do it. Every fan base, you know, has that toxicity where they just kind of assume the worst, I guess. Maybe it's just a coping mechanism. And maybe that's what some Tennessee fans are going through now. Just go ahead and write the season off. That way they don't hurt if Tennessee does get beat by Texas. And I'm not always saying, like, sheep it up or always be positive. Like, you know, some seasons are different than others. But right now, Tennessee baseball made the College World Series. That was the goal.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Game one did go as poorly as possible. I just hope that locker room has a better psyche about themselves than the fan base.
It just doesn't help either that Mississippi State upset Texas. Like, if we would have fought another team like Mississippi State with this game, I'd feel a lot better. Yeah. I would smile a little bit more, want to be more involved with every pitch. Now on this one, there's just that sense of dread. Just because that is two of the top teams, two of the top three in the nation fighting in an elimination game. It's not the way it's supposed to be.
Mississippi State's played really well, you know, in the regional and super regional since Tennessee kind of embarrassed them in the SEC tournament. So I don't even feel like it's much harder to play Texas than it would have been to play Mississippi State at this point.
Okay.
But, I mean, you would have confidence against Mississippi State. Like, you did run rule them, but, like, you know, would that have carried over to tomorrow's game? Maybe, maybe not. Like, I thought Texas struggled more, like, in the regional, or I guess the super regional, than they did. So, I'm okay with the Texas draw. You know, I just pointed out, you know, this is a 2 and 3 seed playing each other, though. That just kind of makes it funny. Like,
yeah,
somebody's going home in this two games.
Early
but
on, yeah.
I think that Mississippi State team's ever been as good as Texas at this point. So that doesn't make it any more pressure as far as I'm concerned, outside of the conflict of over the real UT and the similarities in orange. If you ask me what I'm worried about, Draven, it would be the season ending and then LSU being like, okay, Tony. Yeah, you're a fifth choice, but come on.
I think that's likely. I'm curious what Tony B's thoughts are if they do get bounced early. Like, would he see this as a, you know, maybe never make be able to make the run, or how do you think he would view this season?
I mean, if you're Tony B, you have to look and say, like, hey, look, I mean, look at Omaha. It's orange.
Yeah, I feel like you feel like you can still win here. I don't think you're going to, like, lose the opinion that you can do that just off, you know, struggling first. Like, this is your first time here with this team. And we've talked about it before, like, we obviously don't have some of the pitching staff, you know, necessarily like some of these other teams do. If you start getting those kind of guys in, you feel like you can play with anybody.
Yeah, you didn't have the ace yesterday that, you know, Andrew Abbott was. I mean, maybe, you know, Tidwell kind of projects to be that in a, like, next year in the draft. Like, you could kind of look and feel good about those opportunities. Mm-hmm. With him pitching in a big moment, you could feel all right with that. But yesterday, yeah, you went up against a top-end pitcher in Abbott.
Yep.
And he got you out. But if you're asking about Vitello, like I said, Omaha was orange. Mm-hmm. He mentioned the fan support there. Like, I mean, a lot of fans showed up for this program. Obviously, Tennessee fans showed up for the regionals and super regionals, the big home series. You feel good about that? If you're Vitello, if you're Vitello and you are wanting to leave, if you end up leaving and going to LSU, if you listen to them and you're actually considering it, I don't think, Draven, it's because of Tennessee coming up short in the World Series or, like, the fans. I think it would simply be either LSU is just too attractive of a job or his relationship with AD Danny White.
Or money.
No, I don't think it'll be money.
You don't think that would factor in at all?
No. I don't think it'll be money because I think Tennessee is going to pony up the money. LSU's not going to offer a $3 million contract. Like, if they offer Tony Vitello $1.5 or $1.6 million, like, Tennessee baseball would have done that. So I don't think it'll be money. Now, it might be money, like, for facilities. Mm-hmm. It might be the feeling of, like, the money invested in the program, although I still don't even think that will be an issue at this point, surely. I think it would simply be because LSU is too big of a job and Danny White and him maybe don't see eye to eye. That there might be something there behind the scenes. I know you have some people, having some conspiracy theories that this relationship might be icy and this negotiation might be icy because Danny White reportedly, like, hates Jimmy Sexton and dealing with him and points out that, like, when the football coaching search was happening, like, Tennessee never really talked to any Jimmy Sexton clients, and of course Vitello hired Jimmy Sexton to be his agent, you know, basically a month ago. So some people are gearing up for the narratives already in case this goes sideways. But, like, I don't think it'll be money, and I don't think it'll be the fan support because the money will be there, and the fans showed up. The fans are infallible. We always say it. I mean, you saw the send-away at the hotel. You heard them in the stands. You saw the orange in Omaha. The fans showed up. I will say that Danny White has to go ahead and close this deal, though. You need to have it happen. And maybe it's just a ploy, and, you know, it'll help Vitello in negotiations, just like Bianco got a new contract, just like, was it Texas Tech's coach that got a new contract from TCU? It was him, right? Or instead of going to Texas A&M?
I believe so.
So not TCU, but Texas A&M, I believe so. So, you know, maybe that's just Vitello and Sexton playing the game, and they're going to squeeze a little bit more money out because of the LSU opening, which is fine with me. I don't care. But I will say Danny White's going to be under some pressure. I've already seen and heard that some things coming to the football program for the fan experience isn't going to go so well behind the scenes whenever you're going to have a big portion of old school Tennessee fans who have had grandfathered tickets in and had the same seat for 50 years. They're going to start getting moved around.
Yeah, we need to change another guard.
Well, I mean, I don't even say changing of the guard cam because a lot of these people are young. Like, your grandfather in you means tickets been in their family. Like, the people I know of tickets like that are all pretty young and, like, good fans. And, like, you know, again, if their family has kind of helped build Neyland Stadium and kind of helped keep this program afloat. But, like, being grandfathered in means they got a good deal by giving the school money 50 years ago. And since then, the cost has gone up and they've kind of, you know, not had to make the big donations that the people around them have. Mm-hmm. And does appear that people believe that it's going to change pretty soon where those people are going to start getting moved around. I already had it happen to a listener and a friend who, you know, basically said he had the second row right there. And I believe it was Section O.
Yeah.
But said his family's been there for 50 years. And they just got the call that they're getting moved due to the renovations.
when you're getting moved to a different spot. I mean, it's not like they're getting a worse seat.
I mean, if you're on the second row and you get moved up, that's getting a worse seat. Or if you're getting forced into the donation level, which you could say when. Some people probably feel that way, like, hey, you enjoyed it for a long time. Just because your grandpa was old enough to do it, blah, blah, blah. Like, some people will feel that way, but others will say, hey, like, Danny's undoing a lot of tradition here, and, you know, the common fan, Draven, won't be able to afford to sit where some of those family members have been sitting. So that's just one of those things that, again, if you win, people will say, hey, it's the cost of doing business. If you lose, it's just another thing of, like, look, Danny's out of touch. Look at what Danny did. I'm not looking at it from even a Tennessee perspective because we know the fans aren't going to turn their back on the orange tea. They're like an addict that needs a hit. They won't go yep. away. But like for Danny White's job security, that's why I say you better make sure you get Tony V under contract, because your football program's going to look a lot different and it's not going to win a lot of games to cover for it. Just something Danny should be aware of. That's it. Let's go to break. We'll switch gears from Tennessee baseball. We'll dive into that more tomorrow. We'll get into some NBA playoffs. Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio. If you've been watching the NBA playoffs from the sidelines, like the Philadelphia 76ers will have to now, like the Utah Jazz and Rudy Gobert's going to have to do.
Your boy.
Like Kevin, my boy's Trey Young. That's my boy.
Oh, is it?
Yeah, that's my boy. Kevin Herter, that's my boy. Ben Simmons, also my boy. Shout out to Ben.
Big Ben Simmons
really,
fan, huh?
Really appreciate you, Big Ben.
We did need some more wing players, so. Yeah,
really appreciate you, bro. If you've been watching from the sidelines, now is the perfect time to get in on the action with FanDuel Sportsbook, because during the conference finals, which your Atlanta Hawks are now in.
Oh, yeah, they did make that, yeah, didn't they?
I don't know if you saw that last night, yeah. Cam, but the Atlanta Hawks are now in the conference finals. New users will get 30-1 odds on any team to win their next game. You can win $150 on a $5 bet. You know, if I were you, I would sign up. Use the promo code TALKSPORTS, and I would bet on the Phoenix Suns tomorrow to beat the Clippers because they look like a tank right now. They're playing really well. I would turn my $5 into $150. There are more ways to win on FanDuel throughout the playoffs. Still take advantage of some of their soccer options as well. Got baseball going on. Lots of things to bet on. And when you do, you're going to win. And getting your money is going to be a layup. You'll get paid in as little as 24 hours. The app is easy to use. They refreshed it. They redesigned it. It works so great. So great. Sign up with the promo code TALKSPORTS to bet the NBA Conference Finals with 30-1 odds. Once again, that's promo code TALKSPORTS, one word, to unlock 30-1 odds on any playoff team to win their next game. Must be 21 or older and present Tennessee. New users only. Must wager in designated offer market. $10 first deposit required. $150 max bonus. See full terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call Tennessee Redline, 1-800-889-9789. Let's forget the Hawks for a second. Let's save that. What is the storyline coming out of the weekend in the NBA playoffs that stood out to you the most?
How the heck did Terrence Mann score 39 points?
Terrence Mann scored 39 points because they spaced out the Jazz and Gobert couldn't get out there and guard them.
And Terrence Mann hit Gobert shots. Off the court. Should have took the defense player off the court. They Let's be honest.
No, I mean, I will say that. And, you know, you could say that it's harder when Donovan Mitchell and Conley aren't healthy. And, look, I do think the storyline right now, you know, coming out of every playoff series has basically been someone letting the team down. Except for, like, the Nets. You could say injuries let them down or just like, oh, man, Durant's so great. Like, they're the only team that hasn't really been having one player get slandered. Maybe Harden, although with Harden, you know that he's just not healthy. Can't move. I would simply say stop. Like, if you're going to shoot open threes, hit them. Like, you shouldn't need a hamstring to do that. But either way, every other team you've had, you know, going back to Portland, getting beat. Oh, yeah. Man, CJ McCollum. The Nuggets get beat. Oh, man, Michael Porter Jr. The Sixers are going through it right now with Ben Simmons. The Jazz are going through it with Rudy Gobert. I guess the Nets are getting a little bit with Joe Harris because he couldn't hit a damn open shot. He's supposed to be a shooter.
He was so bad.
They paid him, what, $80 million to go out there and brick shots? I could do that.
He had that one good game. Was it game one, game two? That's like it.
Yep. And, I mean, he had a wide open look at the end of overtime. Tie game with a minute left. Wide open off an offensive rebound and bricked it. He hits that. They win. He misses it. They lose. So, it's been a story of players choking or players getting blamed. Now, we'll see if, like, any change comes from this, because I do think, like, in one instance, like, let's say CJ McCollum. We're talking about him in Portland. It's going to be tough to move on from him and blame him, move, like, you know, it's hard. It's going to be hard to keep anger, I guess, with him. Like, yeah. I don't think that relationship is, like, beyond repair in Portland. Now, whether or not they make a change just because they're stale and aren't going to win, that's a different story.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, with the Jazz, how do they feel about Rudy Gobert right now?
How do you feel about Rudy Gobert right now? That's the question I want to know.
I feel like Rudy Gobert is who you thought he was. When I say you, I don't mean just Draven. I mean, Rudy Gobert is kind of what you think. I mean, he's a guy that has had trouble staying on the court when teams go small and spread him out. Like, that is a playoff problem. Do I still think he is a really good regular season player? I do, because I think that the regular season is different than the playoffs. Now, like, I'll give Ty Lue all the credit in the world. Ty Lue's a big winner in these playoffs so far, because Ty Lue has made adjustments both series that have won his team the round.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Now, Terrence Mann goes crazy, and the Jazz lose. And again, Gobert was the closest defender on a lot of those Terrence Mann shots. Now, I will say, like, at a certain point, you have to say, like, you have to help a player. Like, if I'm Quinn Snyder, you have to help Rudy Gobert.
I thought he was really bad in this game, Quinn Snyder.
I mean, I thought
like,
Quinn
go small. Like, yeah. Literally get wide open three after wide open three. Like, get Gobert off the court. I get he's Defensive Player of the Year, but let's be honest, man. He's barely an upgrade from Andre Drummond. He's literally a slightly better version of Andre Drummond.
I disagree with that fully, because I think Andre Drummond doesn't play any defense at all. Like, you could say he's just a big man. You could say he's like the same as Ben Simmons. Like, I think Gobert is more offensive game than Ben Simmons, but we'll talk like that comparison. Andre Drummond to me sounds really, really dumb. And it's one of those things.
He's just a big man that clogs up the paint.
Well, Andre Drummond can't catch
the ball. And has no offense.
Well, Andre Drummond can't catch the ball, though. Like, he constantly turns the ball over off of just, like, passes. Like, Gobert can pass. He has soft hands. And, like, Andre Drummond is terrible at defense. Like, Gobert, again, I still think is a really good regular season player. I'm telling you that
I... You still think he's better than Paul George?
Not than Paul George that's without Kawhi. Maybe that's the key. Maybe if I'm the Clippers, I'm like, you know what? Maybe we don't need Kawhi back. Let's trade Kawhi. Because Paul George has been a different player since he's gone out.
That is true.
Yes.
He seems more comfortable. Now, we'll see if Paul George is able to carry him. I'm not going to blame him if he doesn't in this series. I think he has done enough to earn some credit and to, you know, the playoff P nickname isn't going to hurt him as much anymore. I give him all the credit in the world for being able to come up big in a moment. Now, if I was a Clippers fan, I'd be like, where was this at last year, Paul George? When you're losing the Nuggets series. Like, the Paul George is playing this year would have won a championship last year had he played this way.
Mm-hmm.
You disagree with that? Like, the Clippers would have won a title last year if he played like this.
No, I would say so.
No, I give George all the credit. Like, he has completely, I won't say completely, he has done a lot to repair his image. Because the problem with Paul George, and it's going to be unfair for him, is the next clunker he has is going to go right back to the same jokes. Unless they make the finals. And I don't think they're going to make the finals. I don't think it's fair to ask them to make the finals unless Kawhi's back next game. But no, Paul George has been great. Again, I'm not going to throw Gobert out, because I do think blaming him does let Quinn Snyder off the hook. And it does let Donovan Mitchell and Mike Conley off the hook and all the other Jazz who can't. Like, the small ball lineup wouldn't have worked if the other Jazz players could stay in front of their guy. But, like, when you're getting, like, blown by and then, like, Gobert's still having the tendency to try to help and guard the paint, and then you're passing it to a wide-open Terrence Mann, he can't get out there and guard him, like, that hurts the defense just as much as Gobert being a little bit slower. Like, the Clippers are able to go small and not lose a lot on defense because, like, Nick Batum is, like, 6'11", and Paul George and Kawhi, when he's out there, can still, like, cover ground. And Reggie Jackson has, like, a 6'10" wingspan, so he's got long arms. They got a lot of long players, and they do a good job with wing players being versatile. But, like, I'm not going to blame all on Gobert.
But you could admit, like, the Jazz could never win a championship with Gobert as their second best player, right? I think that's completely fair to say.
Well, I don't think they can win a title if Donovan Mitchell is their best player either. Even though he was great this series, like, I thought his stats were better than his impact.
Yeah.
Like, I think every now and then we just look at total stats and we'll say, oh, wow, what a great series. I think he had like 35-5-5 or something crazy like that averaged in the series. Mm-hmm. But I didn't think he made that impact. But yes, I would say that the Jazz are probably thinking right now, like, what should we do here?
For sure.
Because they're a great regular season team, and I still think they'll be a great regular season team. Like, I think if they ran the same team back next year with Gobert and Mitchell, like, they'll still be a top 3 or 4 seed. Now, I think they benefited from injuries this year, so I won't say they'll go back to being a 1 seed, but I don't think it's a team that, like, is going to fall apart. They just aren't going to have that extra gear in the playoffs. Yeah. On the other hand, you have the Sixers, who, again, the process just got ended by Kevin Huerter, Red Velvet. And I'm not going to, like, pick on Kevin Huerter and his pasty white skin and his bright red hair, because I love Kevin Huerter. I
love that man.
And I don't care how you look when you play basketball. Like, people make fun of the way Trae Young looks. I don't care. Can you play? Both those guys can play. But what I will say is that if I am the Philadelphia 76ers, it does probably sting a little bit more that it was Kevin Huerter that did you in.
Yeah.
Because you're looking like, man, Ben Simmons should be so much better than this guy at basketball. Look at all the more physical tools he has. Why can't Tobias Harris do this? And then you have Kevin Huerter just completely destroy your soul. And then you think, oh, wait, redheads don't have soul. So then you double down on the joke and it hurts even worse.
Yep.
It hurts even worse. But, like, I feel like the 76ers, they're the team right now that's looking like we can't come back this way.
No.
Yeah.
The Jazz, no, they can still bring back Gobert. Maybe. Like, I think they can. Like, I still think Gobert has a lot of value to their team in a regular season. Now, I will say that Ben Simmons, man, when you get after the game and you got Doc Rivers and Joel Embiid basically throwing him under the bus and then backing it up, beep, beep, beep. You know, if point blank asked Doc Rivers, can Ben Simmons win? Can you win a championship with Ben Simmons as your starting point guard? And he's just like, I don't know what you want me to say here. I don't really know what to say.
Which is no. That's essentially a no.
Which is either essentially a no, or it's like, I don't want to talk about winning a championship after he's got beat in the second round, because I'm trying to blame everybody but myself if I'm Doc Rivers. Like,
yep.
Doc went as far as like, hey, we got swept last year. We were one game away from the conference finals. I'm not going to call this season a failure. And everyone's like, okay, Doc Rivers. But like, no one even really paid attention to that quote. You know why? Because you got Ben Simmons there to scapegoat.
Yep.
And then you got Joel Embiid after the game saying, which I think correctly saying, you know, the turning point was, you know, we had a wide open shot, and that turned into one missed free throw.
Was that the turning point, though? I mean, they're still just down by 1 point at that point. Like,
he did go a little bit further in saying, then the next play, they score again, then Trey hits a three. So, like, he did go a little bit further. So the quote isn't as bad as, like, the full like, context isn't as bad as just, like, the snippet of, like, that's the turning point. Because he does go in and say, like, basically it's a 5-point swing. He said, then they score and we have a bad offensive possession. And then Trey hits a three. But, like, that's not what made it to the masses, right? The masses here, the changing of the changing point was,
yep,
Ben Simmons passes wide open dunk,
yep,
to a player who then gets fouled and misses a free throw.
That was definitely it. When that happened, I was like, it's over. Yeah. I was like, that's it. I couldn't believe he did that. I still can't believe he did that.
I mean, that's just a guy who's terrified to shoot a free throw.
Yep.
Is it just the pressure Philly puts on? Like, Markelle Fultz went through the same thing. Remember, he couldn't, like, shoot it right because of his shoulder, and people were, like, booing and going crazy about it, judging him. Like, and he got ran out of town. Like, is it just the Philly fans put too much pressure? Like, what is this?
I don't know. I don't really remember that with Philly fans when it came to Fultz. Like, I remember the opposite. I remember, and it happened with Simmons in, like, game 5. Like, it's almost the sarcastic, like, we're going to cheer every single thing you do. Because they were trying to, like, you know, every time Ben Simmons at the free throw line, in game 5 at least, they were, like, clapping, like, come on, Ben, you got this. Like, there's the one fan, like, trying to show the form, like, come on, big dog, I believe in you. And then he misses.
Well, then get, I mean,
same as Fultz. Like, if Fultz could, like, even drip, whenever he was, like, playing, if he made a simple pass, like, let's go.
Yeah.
Come on, he's back. Like, it was almost like you just get soured.
Does that get in your head a little bit more, though? Yeah, I was about to say, I don't think that helps anything because you're simple plays.
Make a wish kid.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you got fans trying to tell you how to do a basketball thing when you're out there. It's,
but I mean, like, you don't need the fans to tell Ben Simmons that, you know, he's shot, what was it, 34% from the free throw line?
Worst in NBA playoff history.
Worst in NBA playoff history for somebody with at least 70 attempts. Like, he don't need the fans clapping to let him know that he's not hitting free throws. And, like, that's why he passed out of a wide open dunk. Because he didn't want to have to shoot 2 free throws to try to tie the game.
Man.
So, like, if you're the Sixers, like, I don't feel like you can bring him back. But on the other hand, can you trade really the only asset you have right now outside of Joel Embiid? And I don't think they'll trade Joel Embiid because at this point, like, last year, you could have made at least an argument. Who should they keep, Embiid or Simmons? And, like, some people would have said, you got to keep Embiid. And someone said, well, you know what? Maybe if we trade Embiid, we'll get a bigger haul. And, like, Simmons can be the guy if you build the right team around him. Like, right now, you don't even have that option anymore. Because, like, you can't trade Joel Embiid, who just played through a torn meniscus for you and, you know, played pretty well and played his heart out.
Absolutely.
Like, I think Embiid made a couple of mistakes in the series, but I'm not going to crush him. Like, he was out there on a torn meniscus and at least, like, was trying to make plays. You can't trade him and bring back Ben Simmons.
No, not at all.
Because they're done with him. Like, he's done in that town.
Yeah.
So now you have one asset that you can trade that has positive value. Because at this point, Tobias Harris undid his whole good regular season by another clunker in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, are you going to trade him at his all-time low in value? What are you going to get back? Like, again, I tell you, like, I like to read message boards, especially of, like, losing teams after, you know, when they lose and they're panicking. Like, they're all convinced that they would have to trade a first-round pick with Ben Simmons just to get out of his contract. Like, that's how down bad they are right now. Like, I don't think it's that bad. But at the same time, like, what fan base in the NBA would be happy to get Ben Simmons right now?
That's a good point.
There's only a couple I can think of. The Orlando Magic would probably be like, you know what? Great.
Why not?
Yeah, why not? We need a star. We're buying low. Like, maybe this guy can be a star. It's not like we have anything to lose. Outside of them, and like the Thunder would probably be cool with it, but the Thunder would be like, hey, can we get another one of those first-round picks, please?
Mm-hmm.
But if I was the Thunder, I'd take my chance and trade for Ben Simmons and give up a one of my, you know, 20 first-round picks and say, hey, he's 24 years old. He fits our timeline. Let's pair him with Shai Gilgeous and let's see what we can do here. Now, like, I think he'd run into spacing problems with Ben Simmons, Lou Dort, and Shai Gilgeous.
But then again, like, what's Philly getting in return? Like, what are they getting from Oklahoma City? Yeah. Or what are they getting from the Orlando Magic? Like, they're not getting anything better, obviously.
Maybe if I was the Sixer, but hey, can we get one of those Lou Dorts? Actually, that can, like, play defense like Ben Simmons, but also, like, at least shoots the three a little bit better? Or, you know, in a first-round pick or something? Like, again, like, they're just going to run into a problem of, like, his legacy or his reputation, his standing in the league, was hurt more than anybody's in the playoffs this year. Like, Ben Simmons has a negative value right now. And this is a guy that the Sixers looked at and was like, hey, we don't want to trade him for James Harden. We'd rather have Ben Simmons.
Yep.
And now it's like, hey, can we get anything for him? Maybe the absolute ceiling and the thing that makes the most sense for me is, like, you know, kind of fixing two problems and you see a Ben Simmons for CJ McCollum trade. And you're like, hey, Dame, here you go. This team's been terrible at defense for 5 years. Here's Ben Simmons, the best perimeter defender in the league. You can handle the scoring, right? Cool. And then you go to the Sixers. You're like, all right, now Matisse Thybulle can play more. And CJ McCollum can kind of be your point guard and a guy that can stretch the floor and you can, like, keep running through Embiid. And the spacing won't be as big of an issue. Maybe that's the scenario. I don't know. But I just know that fan base has to be looking for answers. You never want to be the meme. You never want to be the punchline. Like, Tennessee sports have dealt with that, right? Like, I mean, we dealt with it with Butch Jones for a long time. You don't want to be the content. You don't want to be the meme. The Sixers have been that for 6 years with the whole process thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's argued about the process for, you know, what, 6 years now?
Yep, and you thought it was kind of getting there, you know, as they, you know, one seed, stuff like that, and yeah, here they are again.
I mean, imagine, like, I mean, the Brooklyn Nets were probably the best team in the East when healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Easy.
Yep. And then, like, they're falling apart, and you could have played a Sixers, a Bucks team.
Yep.
And you'd have liked your chances against them. And then, like, you know, you look in the West, like, there's no, like, LeBron James super team. Like, I think the Clippers and Suns are, you know, capable, I guess. I mean, I think the Suns are really good if CP3's there. Yep. I think the Clippers are capable, especially with Kawhi there, the way that Paul George is playing. So, like, maybe they would have lost to them. But at the same time, like, this feels like the best chance to win a championship.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, it feels wide open. Like, one of these four teams is going to win their first title in, like, 50 years. Or ever. We're going to get some new blood.
Don't worry, Sixers. We'll carry the fight. We'll go to the finals for you. Don't tempt us.
It's just crazy, man. I cannot believe they lost to the Hawks.
Well,
Doc Rivers, man. How low does Doc Rivers have to feel? I don't care what you say about Ben Simmons. Like Doc Rivers, man. Like, this is ugly. This is ugly. This is probably the worst loss he's had. I think this is worse than the 3-1 blown lead to the Nuggets last year.
I think this is
the low of the low.
I would disagree there just because I think the low of the low is actually when they blew, like, that 18-point lead to the Rockets in the fourth quarter. All on the strength of Corey Brewer and Josh Smith hitting threes. And, like, those are, like, the two people you can't let hit threes. Like, James Harden's on the bench crying. Like, they've benched him. It's like a 20-point game. And the next thing you know, Corey Brewer and Josh Smith just start raining down threes. and you can't do anything to stop it, and like James Harden never even comes back in the game and they lose that game. That one was probably the worst.
But I mean, back to back 20 blown leads in this series. Sure. Like, I mean, you could say the same thing about Lou Williams popping off in that. And you know,
I'm not saying that this one's any better. I'm not saying this one isn't awful. But Josh Smith is like a career like 30% 3-point shooter, and he was like raining in threes on you. Like Corey
Jay Smooth,
he's a journeyman that was like all of a sudden just draining threes. Like those guys came back on your ass when their best player was on the bench. Like that to me, that one would always haunt me. You're at home when that happens. But yeah, like this one don't feel much better. But I mean, like you say you can't believe it. I don't understand why you can't believe it. I'm not talking about the Hawks even, but like you had to know like the Sixers team who was, you know, underachievers in the postseason, pairing them up with Doc Rivers, who is a career underachiever in the postseason, like that's a bad mix. And this was not a two negatives equal a positive situation. It was a two negatives equal 20,000 negatives when you have your fans
get to. You got to at least get to Eastern Conference Finals. You can't lose to a Hawks team. Like, no offense, they're good. I bit the knee a little bit yesterday. I told you the Hawks are a good basketball team, but also they shouldn't be here. They should be in this moment. They're still a young team.
Young guys got to step up at some point.
And I get that. I mean, Herter said after the game, he's like, we're naive. We just keep thinking we can win every game. Like, we don't care. And I mean, you respect that, but at the same time, like,
it's what I thought with Tennessee baseball, though. Like, you don't have – I mean, I get that, like, you know, in college is different just because, you know, players come in and out so quickly. But, like, you can't tell me that the Sixers coming up short the last 6 years didn't play into this series. Like, them choking. Mm-hmm. Like, they know that they are bad at closing. Like, Tobias Harris has 5 years of pressure weighing down on him, and that's why he's missing layups. And, like, Ben Simmons has years of not being good in the situation, you know, weighing down on him. Whereas the Hawks don't have any bad karma in the playoffs. It's been pretty easy for them. They've won 5 of 7 road games.
Yep.
They won 5 of their 7 road games at Madison Square Garden, where everyone's talking about how loud it is and how tough it is to play, and then in Philadelphia in front of their fans.
And they got people like Draven just being like, oh, they shouldn't be here. And they're just like, cool, we'll show you.
I don't think that's a crazy statement or anything. I don't think anybody thought the Hawks
they're taking it personally, and they're using that as motivation. They're using that as motivation, and it's working.
I don't even know if they're using it in motivation at this point, Cam, because I think like winning a championship and just like winning is enough motivation, but I would say they don't have the scars. Like, usually in the NBA, you had to get scars. Like, that was always the narrative. Like, you got to lose to get over the hump.
Right.
You have to get these postseason heartbreaks, but like,
They talk about a lot in like the postgame interviews and stuff that every year, you know, people are doubting them, people not even talking about them, neglecting them. Like, it's talking about, like Draymond said, like, oh, they shouldn't be here. Like, what has this team really like done? Stuff like that. And they talk about that underdog mentality, and they just said, yeah, we're going to keep moving. We're going to do our thing. We're going to play our basketball. And, you know, y'all are going to realize sooner or later. And that's what they're doing right now.
Well, it's also like the NBA, you just don't typically see this either. Like, we've had, last few years where pretty much the best team. I mean, Miami, I guess, was a little bit of a run in the bubble, but it's usually the best team, like, making the runs, going all the way. That's usually what we've had.
Guess we got to make the Hawks the best team then.
Ben Simmons is done in that town.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the fans will riot if he's back next season.
Throwing stuff on the court. I thought it was going to get ugly there for a minute. Not going to lie.
Like, bad, bad.
In the final 11 games of the season, you want to take a guess at what Ben Simmons' field goal total, how many he made, how many shot in the fourth quarter was in his last 11 games?
I'm gonna say he hit 7 shots.
I didn't think it's that. 5. Maybe attempted a 6 or 7.
He was 5 for 5.
Oh, really?
These last 11 games, he was
100% in the fourth quarter, John. That's pretty impressive. Clutch.
11 games, he shot the ball.
Ice in his veins.
In the fourth quarter.
Ice in his veins.
Joel Embiid got slapped with a fine and then got knocked out the playoffs. That's what you deserve, big man. Get out of here.
And then have John Collins up to the postgame presser wearing a shirt of him dunking on Joel Embiid.
Yep.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. I did not see that.
Man, it was awesome.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Love this team.
Stick with us as Talk Sports on Fan Run Radio.